I'm Matt Bush for WCQS News. The federal government's role in studying climate change will change under President Donald Trump. One of the many controversies during the first 2 weeks of his administration is a push to prevent federal agencies that are studying the climate from publicizing their research. Few places in the country would feel the difference more than Asheville, which is home to the headquarters of the National Centers for Environmental Information. That office stores all federal climate data and produces an annual report looking at global temperatures. The most recent study found 2016 was the hottest year on record, the third straight year that's happened. The unknowns over what will happen to federal government climate science studies multiply daily. That's in part because the people producing that information can't or won't say anything about the future. This is Deke Arndt of the NCEI during a conference call with reporters on the 2016 study.
We provide these assessments and these analyses for the benefit of the American people, and that's kind of what we do. Our mission is strictly to describe the state of the climate and our methods on how we got there.
So with government researchers unable or unwilling to discuss further what will happen next in the face of a president who once called global warming a hoax perpetrated by China to hurt U.S. manufacturing, it could be up to private firms to advance the cause. A few blocks away from the NCEI is the Collider, a business incubator for firms working on climate science. Friday mornings like this tend to be when it's most crowded, as the ideas produced from a week of work come flowing out in talks between all those who use the Collider as a base of operations. Andrew Jones is the co-director of Climate Interactive.
It's really great to go to get a cup of coffee and bump into someone who might be thinking about climate and health, or climate and agriculture, or climate and data, and just get those small ideas or interactions that spark new ideas in our team.
Climate Interactive's goal is just that, according to Jones. Find ways to get people to interact with climate science that don't involve reading a long research study.
Research shows that showing people research doesn't work.
To that end, they took the research and produced a series of interactive infographics for the New York Times, showing what would happen if the U.S. or China dropped out of United Nations agreements on climate change. Ellie Johnston of Climate Interactive says they also came up with a role-playing game resembling Model UN.
People play UN climate negotiators and experience what it's like to be in their shoes.
Working just cubicles away from Climate Interactive is Francesco Amini with Induction Food Systems.
We got our funding from NASA to look at ways to feed people when we start to colonize Mars. But part of that is, how do you have a sustainable solution? How can you make food and make good food in a way that doesn't have a carbon footprint?
Amini says much of their business is with food processing plants.
Food processing is the fifth most energy-intensive industry in the United States. It doesn't seem like it, but it really has a pretty big carbon footprint. I think the stats from the government say that we waste 56% of all the process heat that's generated. So of the heat that we use to make food, we lose nearly half of it just because we have an inefficient process.
Losing his funding from the federal government is a pressing concern for Amini, but while that may go away, what won't, he says, is customer demand for products or processes created in response to climate change.
So what I'm seeing from the food and agriculture side and the food side, are consumers wanting more local food, meaning less transported, less carbon footprint, more sustainability? I don't see the administration having anything to do with that. I think it's all going to be what the market does.
Ellie Johnston of Climate Interactive takes that a step further.
If the White House is going to stand in the way of that, I think they will find that the goals that they say that they are for, job creation, economic development, all of these things, will then be undermined.
The Collider's anchor tenant, the National Environmental Modeling and Analysis Center, is an example of a firm which weathered a similar political climate change when it comes to climate change. Jim Fox, the director of NEMAC, says they used to do a lot of work for the state of North Carolina, but around 5 years ago, that all began to go away. That's when the General Assembly passed a bill banning the use of sea level rise projections and crafting policies specific to North Carolina's coastal region.
Political climate change in the state of North Carolina, they were no longer a large funder of our work, but we were able to replace that with other people that were interested in that.
His advice to climate science firms in the Trump era: diversify. Don't just have the government buying or investing in your work.
It's never clear about, you know, who your major investors are going to be, but if you continue to position yourself so that you've got a handful, at least, of different investors that represent different interests, then you've got a much better chance of having a sustainable cash flow and growth profile.
That knowledge and experience gives hope to Collider CEO James McMahon that private firms can carry the torch on climate change.
The problem of climate change is bigger than any election cycle, and the solutions are bigger than any election cycle, and they have a life of their own because the economics have tipped. Clean energy is now cheaper than dirty energy. Businesses are realizing that it's cheaper and better decision-making to take climate into account than to ignore it. So the economics have already tipped, and we are beyond any political cycle.
But McMahon adds it would be a whole lot easier if the federal government stayed involved the next 4 years. For WCQS News, I'm Matt Bush.